Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The transfiguration of our Lord is a testimony to how awesome our God truly is. The glory of Jesus was revealed before the eyes of three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And it's so brilliant that while they clearly know it's good to experience it, it's overwhelming to be in the presence of God's glory. And so Peter wants to cover up the glory that he's experiencing, to put it in a tent, so that he can stand to stay in the presence of God as long as he can. But the naysayers dismiss the amazing aspects of God, don't they? Unbelievers can't fathom an event such as Jesus' transfiguration. Even we, in our sinfulness, struggle to believe it. Because, well, we've never experienced such a glorious thing in our earthly lives. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that you believe in Jesus and in all the miracles that he did, including his transfiguration. These miracles recorded and testified to in historical documents. Historical documents that have been vetted and verified, tried and tested, and still stand unscathed, trustworthy, legitimate, historically honest. Documents such as the second letter that bears St. Peter's name. Isn't our epistle reading for today great? Listen to this. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter lays it all on the line. We were eyewitnesses, he says. That's something that you could verify. That is a fact that people can scrutinize. He even claims that the charge will be that all this Jesus stuff is a myth. It's made up. And so he nips it in the bud before it even starts. And he says, no, we did not follow cleverly devised myths. Peter testifies to having been an eyewitness to Jesus' majesty. He's talking about what he saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. For when Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne from heaven to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Peter says, "We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Jesus on that holy mountain." This isn't fiction. This isn't myth. He says, "I was there. Are you calling me a liar?" Three men were eyewitnesses to the glorious revelation that the man, Jesus, the human being, the one who history testifies to as having really lived, no one disputes that. The one who is recorded in records as having died a criminal's death under the supervision of Roman governor Pontius Pilate, who also really lived, and no one denies that. These men were present when that historical Jesus was gloriously transfigured, and they heard with their own eardrums the Father say of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is what Peter's talking about when he writes a letter to the church. When he says, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. We have God's word even more fully than we saw that transfiguration. You can trust your Bible is God's word. Everything that the Old Testament prophets said about the Messiah, the disciples turned apostles saw with their own eyes, heard with their own ears, more fully than they, and now have written it down for us that we can have it more fully even yet." To which he says, "You will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in the darkness until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all," and now pay attention to what he says here. Just last week, someone told me they don't believe that God wrote the Bible, but that they were words written by men, honest men, good men, but men. So now listen to what Peter says to that. One of the men who God inspired to write down his word. Listen to what he says. "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And then he grabbed the microphone and he dropped it. Point. Match. We win. The very men who we trust wrote the Bible make the claim that it's not their word, but God's word that they've received. The same word that they hear with their ears, the one spoken from heaven about Jesus. One of the men who God employed to write down his word for our benefit tells us that all the prophecies of the Old and New Testament, all of God's word, come from God and not from people. That's huge. That's a game changer. And here's the point of today's sermon. It's the point of our Lord's transfiguration. And it's why Peter was privileged to witness it. What are all the prophecies about? Jesus. They're all about the Messiah, the Christ, who the beloved Son of God is, and why the Father is well pleased with him. That's what this whole book is about. It's the whole point of Scripture. All of what God inspired men to write down, these books that have been collected into the canon of Holy Writ, all of these words are about revealing for you and me, all human beings, the real man called Jesus, the one from Nazareth, born of Mary in Bethlehem, that he is the beloved Son of God, that his life and death are pleasing to his heavenly Father because they're how you and I and everyone who doesn't reject the obvious, testifiable truth, how we're saved from our sinful state, saved from death that awaits us, and saved from an eternity in hell. Carried along by the Holy Spirit, Peter wrote, "We would do well to pay attention to the prophetic word that the apostles had more fully confirmed. As to a lamp shining in a dark place." Jesus is a flashlight. Jesus is a light shining in the darkness of our hearts, into the darkness of this world full of sin, our sin, and everyone else's sin. We would do well to pay attention to what the apostles have to say about Jesus and his word. Starting with the fact that their words are not from them, but they're actually produced by the Holy Spirit who carried them along to write it down for our benefit. Namely, what did they write? Namely, that Jesus is the Christ, the beloved Son of God the Father, that he took on human flesh, his glory hidden in his humility, hidden in that thing that would be ravaged on the cross. He took on human flesh so that he could save human flesh, yours and mine, so that he could save us from our plight, our problem, sin, and death. That's what he's done, my friends. That's what Jesus has done, and that's why you believe in him. Because he has made it so easy to understand. He has put all the chips on the table. He's opened up his hand and shown his cards, just like Peter did by saying, "Here it is. We didn't follow myths. We were actually eyewitnesses." It's not in the realm of legend and make-believe. It's in the realm of fact. And test it if you don't believe it. Give it a whirl. Try to poke holes in it. It can't be done. That can't be undone. He died on a cross for you. The beloved Son of God has saved you from your sin. He tented among us. He dwelled among us in our flesh, bearing human flesh so that he could redeem human flesh, of which each and every one of you are a part. You have human flesh. You are part of humanity. Last time I checked, right? Do this for me. Does that hurt? You're not pinching hard enough. Pinch a little harder, right? You're human. He saved you. If you're human, he saved you. He lived for you. He died for you. He was resurrected for you in human flesh. He still dwells in human flesh. I don't know if you know that. I don't know how you think about that. But when he ascended, it's not like he ascended and his flesh like dissipated into the clouds. He is in heaven in his human form. The same one that hung there. The same one that was pierced for you. He still dwells in that. That's what's remarkable about Jesus. He has united forever God and man. Divinity and humanity come together. That's what will happen for you when you are resurrected and you will live with God forever. God's divinity will be with your humanity forever. That's what communion is all about. It's a foretaste of that reality. It's actually prepping your flesh to be able to undergo such a transformation, such a transfiguration. You will have your own transfiguration one day. And right now, you are getting little booster shots that are prepping your body that is full of sin to one day not be. That day will either be when the Lord returns, or when you die, your soul will start to experience it. And then eventually when the Lord returns and the resurrection happens, your body will join your soul and it'll be forever. No more sin, no more death. No fear of hell. All that stuff gone. Just the Mount of Transfiguration. Just let me build a tent and stay here as long as I can. Let me live here. You've been forgiven of all your sins. The apostles have recorded it so you would know it. So that you would hear it week in and week out. It is the greatest news. You live in your own Mount of Transfiguration. You have been given the Holy Spirit. You have eyes to see the glory of your Lord hidden in that humanity. And you have ears to hear the voice from heaven if you're listening. The voice that says Jesus is the beloved Son of God. Jesus was given for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and souls in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.